inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. I'm actually coming to you from Indiana today. So my, if you're watching online, my video shot looks like a hostage video, but I am not. I have not been kidnapped, and I am not being held ransom. I'm just actually in a room where I could do the show today. While we have a little over 100 people here in just outside of Indianapolis, we're in a little town called Franklin, Indiana, at this amazing place. You may have listened to the program back in, I think it was January when I had Mark Adams on, might have been December, but we're at the Mark Adams School, and I am telling you, folks, it's like Disneyland for arts and crafts, a Disneyland for a woodworker or a glassblower or anybody that's like really good at that stuff. I'm not good at it. Okay, so my job's to run around and motivate everybody. I am not. You don't want to put my my hands on the tools. Okay, but I just got to tell you, the Lord has moved in such an amazing way. I have been in tears all morning watching what's happening here at the Mark Adams School. So if you want to check it out, markadamsschool.com. It is now listen, Mark does this year round, so you can come out here and do a program with him anytime throughout the year. All kinds of, you know, they do basically a week-long class, and you don't have to have any skill to come in. You can come in and learn how to do these things, and I'm talking about everything from the most intricate, detailed, fine woodworking, ironworks, leatherworks, like I said, glass blowing, incredible. And the reason we're here is because Mark came to one of our graduations for Patriot Academy last year, the one we do here in Indiana, our Midwest Academy. We do at the Indianapolis, at the Indiana State Capitol. And he was so moved by what we're doing to raise up a new generation of patriots and teach them how to influence the process and be effective at the process. And he saw our closing ceremony where we had the military veterans pass the torch to the kids and they signed the Declaration of Independence. And he was so moved, he said, "Rick, man, I got the best of the best. I mean, I got the guys that make White House furniture. I got the guys that do, you know, all the best of the best stuff. And we could do Independence Hall for you. We could make all that interior, you know, their intricate molding and the Windsor chairs and the George Washington, you know, president's chair up there at the front and the tables, you know, the paneling, all of it, the crown molding, you name it." This is the kind of stuff the Lord's done for Patriot Academy and for the things that we've been doing. He literally has opened up his place, shut down his whole facility for just us. And when I say his whole facility, I mean, I'm talking building after building after building that specializes in these different, you know, arts. And they are right now, I mean, literally we started at 8 o'clock this morning and they're already churning out the paneling and making chairs and doing all this cool stuff. And over 100 people came out here. Some of our listeners to American Family. Some were, you know, longtime Patriot Academy supporters, never done anything like this before. And some were just some of Mark Adams students from other programs that said, "Yeah, we want to be part of making the furniture of the Founding Fathers. We want to be part of rebuilding Independence Hall at the Patriot Academy campus." And so I wish you could see. if you're not following me on social media, make sure you go to follow me on Facebook or X or one of those other ones, and I'll be posting pictures of all of these people making this incredible furniture. So anyway, that's why I am I'm on the road this week. So I'll be doing I'm filling in for Walker tomorrow too. So I'll be with you two more days after today, and it'll be from here in Indianapolis as we make this incredible furniture. And if you're new to the show and you haven't heard me talk about this before, we're doing a replica of Independence Hall. We're rebuilding Independence Hall for the 250th anniversary of the nation, the 250th birthday of the Declaration of Independence. And we're doing it at the Patriot Academy campus in Fredericksburg, Texas. We're just outside of San Antonio, 50 minutes from the San Antonio airport. And so anyway, we're building Independence Hall. Our goal, Lord willing, if the funding comes through, we will break ground on July 4th this year. And in 365 days, build out Independence Hall and cut the ribbon on it on July 4th, 2026, on the 250th birthday of the nation. And so Here in Indianapolis, we're making the interior. So we're basically building out all of the furniture and all of the paneling, the chandeliers even. I mean, this guy even makes chandeliers. We've got the two best glass blowing experts in the country, maybe the world. We've got the guys that you know, no kidding, I'm not just White House furniture. I mean, I'm talking like the best wood turners and craftsmen you can imagine. And it's just cool. I tell you what, it's I'm not kidding when I say I was sitting back in the back of the room today in tears as, you know, these experts were introduced and how they are volunteering their time to come and make this stuff and to teach our people how to make this stuff. And for our people, man, just think about that. You get to have your hands in the mix, quite literally rebuilding Liberty. You know, of course, last week I kind of walked through a little bit of our rebuilding Liberty plan for the 250th. That's rebuilding Liberty philosophically, rebuilding Liberty, you know, in terms of education and policy and those kind of things. This week, that we are rebuilding Liberty, literally rebuilding Independence Hall. So we're rebuilding the physical things that it just conjures up this emotion, because you know that, I mean, that's the cradle of Liberty. That's where the Declaration was created. That's where Jefferson presented those famous words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, this is the heart of this whole thing. And it's the place where the Constitution was debated and framed. And I just, man, I get goosebumps when I think about it. You know, I get to teach on this stuff all the time, not just here on the radio program, but in person with people all over the country. And to have our hands in the actual rebuilding of the place where liberty was born, the cradle of liberty, and to do all of this at this time in history, and to do all of this at the very moment where America desperately needs a rebirth of freedom, where we desperately need, as we're celebrating the birthday of the nation, we desperately need to know what we're celebrating. Why America became the greatest, most powerful, the most free, the most benevolent nation in the history of the world. When we say we want to make America great again, what are we talking about? Like, what does greatness even mean? And how did America become great in the first place? If you're going to do it again, if you're going to make America great again, you got to know the formula that produced the greatness in the first place. And so the reason for building Independence Hall is to get people to almost step back in time right there on our campus at Fredericksburg, Texas. And when they step back in time, relive the discussions that produced the framework that would be built upon the principles of liberty that would in fact become the greatest nation in history. And so these physical things, while you might say, well, Rick, that's just, you know, pomp and circumstance. That's just, you know, that's just for show. It's just bricks and a building and chairs. What does that really mean? Well, it in my opinion, the nostalgia of it, the emotion of it, it just allows you to open up your mind and your heart to say, if I'm sitting in this chair, just imagine that. If you come to Patriot Academy, let's say a year from now, 2 years from now, and you come into Independence Hall, and you walk in there just like the Founding Fathers did, and you sit down in one of those Windsor chairs, and you sit at that desk with the green tablecloth on it, and we start talking about, what does it mean to say we hold these truths to be self-evident? Hey, Jefferson, what are you talking about? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness? I thought it was life, liberty, and property. We've all read John Locke. What are you saying, Thomas? And to let Thomas Jefferson explain that pursuit of happiness is just a broader view of property. That pursuit of happiness is Adam Smith's invisible hand. It's the free enterprise system. It's the ability to have competition and for a person to pursue their dream, to pursue what God's put on their heart, even if it's not necessarily farming or using their actual property, but it's a dream that they've been given to pursue happiness, not the guarantee of happiness. Not the redistribution of happiness, but the pursuit of happiness. Just imagine that you're able to sit in one of those chairs as you're talking about this. That you're able to sit in that room designed and looking just like it did and feeling like you're at the Continental Congress as they are discussing whether or not to take on the greatest military power on the planet. It's just special. There's just something about it. It's so different than just being in a, you know, just a regular old classroom and being told, you know, the teacher just reading from the textbook and rattling off the dates and the names and, you know, on this date, da-da-da-da-da-da. That's so boring, man. I slept through that stuff in high school and college. What we want to do is transport people back in time and teach those principles and then bring them forward to today and say, how does that apply today? Why does that matter today? Why does it matter that Jefferson and the others there in Independence Hall, that they said, when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. What did they mean by that? Destructive of these ends? What ends? Well, what was the few sentences before that? We hold these truths. So destructive of truth, of the foundation, of the things that make a society work well. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Destructive of life. Destructive of the ability to have your pursuit of happiness because you have the liberty to do so. How about consent of the governed? You know, that famous line in the Declaration that says that to secure these rights, so if you think about this for a second, this is the whole reason we have government, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Well, that's the citizen's ability to give or refuse consent. So if you no longer can give or refuse your consent because the elections have been compromised, If you no longer are even allowed to testify because they pass all kinds of crazy rules, making it harder and harder for you to even have your voice heard, if you no longer can speak your mind on social media or in Times Square or in the public square because they're silencing you because it's somehow quote-unquote disinformation, you see where I'm going with this, folks? That's a form of government becoming destructive of these ends. And so that's why Jefferson said, and everyone in the room agreed, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. So when you take yourself back in time and you sit in that Windsor chair and you're in that room and you're looking at that molding around you, the stuff on the walls and the chandelier, and you feel like you've been transported back in time and you're contemplating, what does that mean to alter or abolish? It means to restore the fundamental principles that we the people gave government. Under which we the people gave government certain powers to do things. It means to not abolish all, it's not anarchy, it doesn't mean abolish all government, it means alter the government back to the way the people gave it permission to act and abolish those parts of government that are not within that jurisdiction or that boundary. And that's what leads to political action. That's why people vote. That's why people run for office. That's why people try to pass legislation that alters or abolishes pieces of government. And it might alter government to add something to government. It might alter government to get rid of something to government. It might alter just how you do certain things in government. It might abolish entire departments like the Department of Education or the Department of Energy or the Department of Agriculture, all of which should be abolished. And so this is a critical part of rebuilding liberty for future generations, is to rebuild these places that capture who we are as Americans. Ronald Reagan said, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. Well, we're rebuilding Independence Hall at the Patriot Academy campus to remind people what we did and to remind people who we are so that they can then be good citizens, so that they can take all of that and act on it. Not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Not just be a Christian, but be a biblical citizen. Actually follow the Bible's commands on how to treat your neighbor and then turn around and do that properly under our Constitution. So when we talk about biblical citizenship in modern America, we're just literally saying, obey God, obey the Bible, and do it within the American constitutional republic system. And so building Independence Hall is going to be a huge part of that for us. And I appreciate everybody out there that's already donated to that, or you've sent someone through one of our programs, or you're planning to be there for the ground, you know, for the ribbon cutting of Independence Hall next summer, July 4th, 2026. Mark your calendars, folks. Get ready. And then maybe we'll do another Mark Adams School program. You get to come out here and make something, whether it's a Windsor chair or some sort of heirloom for your kids. You really ought to check it out, markadamsschool.com. Going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, and we'll hit some of the headlines as well. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with me, folks. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me. Once again, I'm coming to you from Franklin, Indiana at the Mark Adams School. We are building Independence Hall this week. Building the interior to the assembly room is what we're building this week. So that's all the Windsor chairs and the fancy tables and tablecloths and George Washington's chair with the rising, or is it a setting? Rising. Indeed, as Ben Franklin said, a rising sun. And all the other cool stuff that's going to go into the assembly room. So having a great time out here and making progress on quite literally rebuilding liberty. Okay, was anybody else cracking up there as you're listening to Tim explain the trips to Greece and Israel, the music in the background? It's like I could just see Tim, like, you know, doing one of those like weird Mediterranean dances as he's doing that commercial. Okay, come on, that's funny. Somebody tell Tim Wildman I said that, he'll crack up. Okay, let's go to the headlines. So there's a lot, of course, as always, going on. Donald Trump moving faster than the speed of light, it seems like, with his altering and abolishing of our government, which is good. It needed a wrecking ball. I've said this a few years ago, that I was really, hoping Donald Trump would win again because he would be a wrecking ball. He would be a bull in the China closet, and it would be scorched earth in many ways to essentially get rid of the swamp, to remake our government. And clearly we're disappointed in the House bill not having as much of DOGE and the things that Trump campaigned on. And I remain of the opinion and the position that, we've got to take the good, the bad, and the ugly all together and get what we can and keep fighting for the next day and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, not give up on these guys yet. Definitely point out the things that are wrong and evil and that still need to be changed, but trusting in some way the guys in the room that are negotiating these deals, that they're getting all that they can get right now, and we continue to push for more. All of that to say, there is some significant, as I was mentioning in the previous segment, altering and abolishing going on. So Jefferson, as we are building Independence Hall here in Indiana to take back home to Fredericksburg, Texas, and install in the Independence Hall that we're building there, I keep thinking about the words from Independence Hall, the words from the Declaration of Independence and how Jefferson talked about that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and how we're doing that now. We're changing in many ways how government works. The challenging of even the power of the courts, something we have said in our Constitution classes for 15 years, how important it is to not see the courts as the final end-all be-all, final say on every law in America. They were never designed to be that way. They were supposed to be the weakest of the branches. They're supposed to apply the law to the parties that are before them. In other words, who's actually the plaintiff and defendant in those cases, not the whole country. So these national injunctions should not be happening from a district judge. You also should not allow the Supreme Court to make law for the nation. The Congress is supposed to do that, not the Supreme Court. And so we're literally challenging the way that government's operated for the last few decades, which has not been good. I mean, let's face it, we've been ruled by an oligarchy, by a courtstitution instead of a constitution, by unelected, unaccountable lawyers in Washington, D.C. And that was not the design of our constitution, nor is it healthy for our country. It creates confusion. You don't have clear law. You have all these, 100-page Supreme Court decisions. You have to try to decipher and figure out what you can and can't do, and it's just absurd. And so I think it's good that Donald Trump was backed up against the wall, that he was literally persecuted through the lawfare. The courts were abused to try and destroy him and his people. They tried to destroy all conservatives. Anybody that, like me, that calls themselves a patriot, that has an organization called Patriot Academy, considered an insurrectionist, considered a threat to democracy. I mean, whatever other nasty things they could come up with. They even made up names like Christian nationalist or whatever. I mean, they came up with all of that to try to wipe out anyone that would challenge their march towards socialism and communism. And so when I think about all of that, literally exactly what Jefferson was saying, those forms of government becoming destructive of the ends of truth and life and liberty and pursuit of happiness and consent of the governed and all the rest. And I think about the altering and abolishing of that government and what Donald Trump's doing at the federal level. I can't help but think, okay, what can I do at the local level? What is my job as a citizen with my city council, school board, county commissioner, state legislature? What can I do to push them to alter or abolish government back to the form it was intended to be in the first place? What can I do to get my local government off of my neck, the boot of government off my neck, when it comes to building a storage building on my property or building another home on my property? Why does government get to tell me whether or not I can add a guest house to my property for my mother-in-law or my kids if they want to live next door and get started with their, my grandkids? I mean, that is no business of government. Where did we buy into this idea that government gets to decide how many homes can be on your acreage or how many toilets you can have in your house? I don't get it. I mean, what lies were told to people to get them to give up their property rights and vote for people that would pass ordinances and laws micromanaging property? That's a destruction of private property. That's a destruction of liberty in and of itself. You cannot have freedom if you do not have free property, if you don't have private property ownership, which means as the private property owner, you decide what to do with that land. You decide how much of your land you want to cover with buildings and roads and parking lots or whatever. You decide how many people you want living on your land. And if the neighbor doesn't like it, they can buy the property. If the neighbor is actually damaged, like if you actually had, caused a bunch of runoff that flooded your neighbor's house, okay, yes, you're liable. Absolutely, you're responsible for that. I'm not saying you get to do something that damages your neighbor, but just because your neighbor doesn't like what you're doing with your property, that's not damage. That's like Snowflake City right there where I don't like the fact that they have an extra driveway on their property, or I don't like the fact that they have five houses there and their kids and grandkids all live there now. And it, you know what? I don't care. If you don't own the property, you don't get a say. That's the way it should be. And now we've bought into this collective Marxist idea that the community gets to decide what you do with your land. That's not the America that our founding fathers created. And I would argue that would fit perfectly what Jefferson was saying, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, that's very destructive of the pursuit of happiness, that it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Our problem is we're stuck in the next line from the Declaration. Half the country, maybe most of the country, frankly, 95% of the country, is stuck in this one, this part right here, where Jefferson says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while the evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, Jefferson's giving you in two sentences right there a description of human nature and a description of apathy. He's basically saying, and maybe not even so much apathy as just we're busy. We've got a lot to do. We're running our business, our ministry, our church, our raising our kids, coaching Little League, doing all these different things. We're frankly enjoying the blessings of liberty. And when government starts taking over more and more of our lives, telling us what to do with our property, how to raise our kids, when we can open our, all those things, then we put up with a lot. So they can add a little regulation here, add a little tax there, and we put up with it because we just don't have time to fight it. And it's just not the cost-benefit analysis in our mind is that the benefit of fighting that regulation or tax does not outweigh the cost of taking the time and energy and the reputation, lives, fortune, sacred honor it takes to go alter or abolish government and stop that thing from happening. That's generally what's happened up until COVID. And then when COVID hit, it suddenly woke up. The cost-benefit analysis changed. The cost of having to fight government and stop it suddenly wasn't as high as the benefit of getting rid of government telling us we could not even gather to worship. We couldn't sing. We couldn't whatever. Or government forcing upon us these experimental vaccines and everything else and us not being able to opt out of those things. So the formula changed and we started saying, you know what? Freedom is being lost and the price to fight this, the cost of fighting is worth the benefit of liberty and the benefit of freedom. And so the formula definitely changed. And then when Joe Biden became an absolute Marxist, or as it turns out, Joe Biden was out to lunch. We knew that mentally. And it was a bunch of Marxists behind the scenes calling the shots, running the shows, operating the auto pen, doing the daily management of the White House administration. And they were pure Marxist. And as a result, we started seeing tyranny and we said, this form of government is becoming so destructive of these ends, these things that I love, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, truth, all those things, that I am no longer in that suffer while evils are sufferable phase. I'm in the next phase. The next sentence Jefferson gives us is, I'm not looking at notes, folks. I'm trying to remember this. Okay. Remember, I'm in Indianapolis. I'm not on my desk. Let's see. What's the next line? Oh, yeah. The next line is, he says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing inevitably the same object evinces the design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right. It is their duty to throw off such governments and institute new guards for their future security. What's he saying? He's saying, if it gets so bad that there's clearly a path and a plan to reduce you to being under totalitarianism and despotism, then you suddenly wake up and you go, oh, wait a minute, I've got to do something about this. And not only do you have a right to do something, you have a duty to do something, not just to yourself, not a duty to yourself, but a duty to your children and grandchildren. You owe a duty to those who came before us. I mean, yesterday's Memorial Day, those who paid the ultimate price for us to be free, you owe it to them. It's a duty to them that you throw off these governments and institute new forms, new guards for your future security. What did Lincoln tell us in the Gettysburg Address is the way that you honor the fallen? Yesterday's Memorial Day. We take the day, we wave the flag, we have some ceremonies here and there. What are we doing? We're honoring them, but then, you know, verbally honoring them, maybe honoring them with a little bit of our time that day. But then how are we really supposed to honor them? Lincoln said, it's an increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That's how you honor them. Have you increased your devotion to the cause? What is the cause? Everything we're quoting from the Declaration. That's the cause. The Declaration embodies, articulates, declares the cause. And so if you want to honor those who came before us and died, 1.3 million that paid the ultimate price, if you want to honor them, increase your devotion to the Declaration principles that we're going to be talking about for the next 404 days as we prepare for the 250th birthday of the nation. Increase your devotion by giving more of your time, more of your money, more of your reputation, your sacred honor, to restoring and rebuilding liberty. And that's why I think it's good that we had the valley. I think it's good that we had the pain, the tough times, because tough times make tough men. And we're getting tougher. That's why we're putting in the extra effort. That's why people are volunteering their time to host Constitution classes. That's why people are running for office, not because they want to have their name in lights. For most people that actually end up being good public servants, they're doing it out of sacrifice. They don't even really want to run. They're doing it because the nation needs them. The local community needs them. So I don't know for you what that is. I don't know, you know, maybe God's pricking your heart right now. Maybe there's just a little stirring in you to say, you know what? I get what Rick's saying. I get the fact that I've watched government become destructive of the ends of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, truth, consent of the governed, all of those things that Jefferson names in the Declaration. And I want to do something to alter or abolish government back to what it was designed to be. And maybe that's for you. Maybe that's a local fight to abolish some of these land controls at your local government level. Maybe it's an effort to alter your education system back to where it teaches the biblical foundations that make a good society. The basic treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. The basic murder is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Lying is wrong. The very principles that made America great in the first place, as we said in the first segment, maybe your job is to alter the education system to get back to teaching those principles so the next generation can be great as well. I don't know. I don't know what God's called you to. We're going to, you know, this Rebuilding Liberty book that we're releasing in a few weeks, and the whole course that's going to launch on July 4th, which, by the way, I hope you're planning to be one of our Rebuilding Liberty coaches or hosts and hosting a class that weekend. We're shooting for 1,000 classes the weekend of July 4th, kicking off the 1 year leading up to the 250th. It's going to be a 4-week class. It's probably 45, 50-minute videos each week and then, you know, 30, 45 minutes of discussion. So less than 2 hours that we're asking you to invest 4 weeks in a row. So to one night a week, four weeks in a row. Where was I going with all that? I see what I was going to say. I don't know where I was going with all that. But But in Rebuilding Liberty, in the course, we're going to give you 12 different specific action steps you can take, and you can pick one of those. So what I was saying is maybe God's stirring your heart towards some of these things, and you're starting to think about, what's my action item? What can I do to rebuild liberty? What can I do to alter or abolish government back to the way it was designed, or towards the way that will be best for my community? And that's what we're going to teach you in Rebuilding Liberty. So go sign up today, patriotacademy.com. Sign up as a coach or host, and be ready, because Rebuilding Liberty is being edited right now. We just finished filming on, what is today, Tuesday? We just finished filming two nights ago. Yeah, we finished filming Sunday night, and we're editing it now. It'll be ready to go the weekend of July 4th. We'll have some promo videos and different things ready for you in a couple of weeks so you can start promoting your class. But just start thinking about, you know, July 4th falls on a Friday this year. It's going to be on a Saturday next year, which is just perfect, because that'll be the big 250th. And maybe one of your action items will be to organize the 250th in your community, a big celebration. I'm really hoping people will do it at their, a lot of them at their churches. We're shooting for 5,000 celebrations, July 4th, 2026. And I'm hoping a lot of those are at churches, because it's a great chance to, you know, reinsert the church as the epicenter of the community, much like it was in the founding era. Remember the black-robed regiment? That's the black robe, you know, the pastors wearing the black robes. The British hated them, but they were at the center of launching America and even giving us the Declaration of the Constitution. More on that when we come back, and we'll take your phone call. Sorry, I got going, didn't get to them. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Thanks for staying with me. All right, let's get to a few of the headlines and then the phones. The phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. My favorite headline so far: CDC stops recommending COVID vaccine for healthy children and pregnant women. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the move aligns with the Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again agenda. According to the Epic Times, the U.S. Center for Disease Creation, my faux pas there, a little Freudian slip, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, what a joke that is, will no longer recommend that healthy children and pregnant women take COVID-19 vaccine shots. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any critical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children, Kennedy said. I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC's recommended immunization schedule. Now, Secretary Kennedy's got to maybe hold back a little in some of the things he says now. Maybe not. I mean, he could be just as blunt as he's always been. I will be blunt. The pushing of the COVID vaccine on pregnant women was mass murder of babies and mass infertility forced upon many who were not given a choice between getting the shot as a pregnant woman or getting out of the military, for instance, getting dishonorably discharged or fired from other jobs. And the reason for all of that was Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, Rachel Walensky, and Joe Biden. It was criminal. Children died. Many women became, infertile. Many miscarried. And a lot of people died as a result of the vaccine. In fact, they're now admitting that the COVID death rates went through the roof because of the vaccine. Oh, I'm sorry. They're now saying at the time of the vaccine, you know, they're going to, of course, say it's not causation. But folks, the numbers are staggering. And the fact that we are just now going to stop recommending that we inject children with a vaccine that has no upside for them, No upside, folks. Never was a problem for the kids. They never should have been vaccinated with COVID, with the COVID vaccine. No upside, but lots of downside. Lots of problems. I mean, VAERS is essentially overloaded at this point with the deaths and the illnesses and the problems that have been created by that vaccine. VAERS meaning the reporting system, the vaccine, I forget what it all stands for. Vaccine. It's basically injury reporting system, and you have to go through VAERS before you can be, get any chance at any kind of compensation. The whole thing's a scam, folks. It's an absolute scam. And I have to say, Ronald Reagan, I loved Ronald Reagan. I got a kid named Reagan after the president. I considered him the fourth best president in history until Donald Trump did such an amazing job. Now Reagan's number five, and Donald Trump's number four. But, man, I mean, I got another kid born on his birthday. I used to have a dog named Dutch. I made a documentary about Ronald Reagan. I'm a Reagan fan, okay? But he was wrong, absolutely wrong, to sign the bill that gave immunity to vaccine manufacturers. Now, I think he was lied to. I think he was just like President Trump was lied to in his first term in 2020 during COVID. Scared, but basically told that if you don't do this, if you don't give immunity to the vaccine manufacturers, we're not going to have enough vaccines to get rid of some of these mass diseases, and the whole world's going to die. Kind of same thing they did to George W. Bush in 2008. Oh, if you don't do the bailouts, it's going to be the Great Depression 10 times worse, and you know everybody's going to die. And of course he that's why, you know, George Bush made the huge mistake of doing the bailouts in 2008, which set up, you know, Barack Obama being able to make it even worse in 2009. But anyway, so they do this. They scare you, and you're getting all these advisors are making it sound like the apocalypse is upon us. And so Ronald Reagan made the huge mistake of giving that immunity to these vaccine manufacturers. Now just think about that for a second, folks, just for a second. If you are given carte blanche, absolute, get out of jail free card, not only that, we're going to pay you, government's going to give you the money to create all these vaccines and do all these programs, and no matter how bad your product is, no matter how many people die from it, no matter how many people get sick from it, you have no liability. You have no accountability. You're never going to be held accountable for not doing the research and development you should have done, for not doing the placebo-controlled trials and the studies and everything that you should have done, which is why people are pumping their kids full of 72 doses in just 36 months, I think it is. 72 doses. I may be off on that. It may be 48, but it's an absurd amount of doses of these foreign objects into the, in many cases, with just a few days old or a few months old. It just logically, that should make you go, wait, what am I doing? You're pumping all this stuff into the kids, and there's no studies for what happens to those kids with all these different doses. There's not even on many of these placebo-controlled trials on the individual dose or the individual particular vaccine, which is insane. And then we give them product liability immunity. It is the worst, most evil, inviting fraud and inviting corruption and just carelessness. Even if all of the vaccine manufacturers were Dudley Do-Right and they're all doing their best to make the best product they can, or that they're not being corrupt, it incentivizes you to rush products to market, to not do what you should do for your studies and everything else to make sure it's as safe as possible. And I'm not a safetyism guy. I realize somebody's going to die from every product that's ever created, probably. And there's going to be a cost benefit always. Andrew Cuomo is wrong to say that if it saves one life, it's worth it. No, because you killed tens of thousands of others. So even if you saved one or 100, but you killed 10,000 others, that doesn't sound like a very good cost benefit analysis to me. So I get it that you're going to have, with any medical procedure, you're going to have some deaths, you're going to have times when it goes wrong, or just genetics that don't respond well to whatever that thing is. That's part of it. But the fact that you're not going to hold people accountable for the danger, for the damage that's done by their product, is insane. That has got to change. It's got to go away. And because of that, because they had no liability, they pushed this thing on pregnant women, on children. And of course, the reason that they did it for children is if you add it to the schedule, that's how you get the no liability. You got to get on that childhood vaccine schedule. And then as soon as you make that list, oh, you're golden. So anyway, I'm just thrilled that RFK has been willing to do this. This is a big deal. It's the first, you know, big piece dismantling of the medical industrial complex. We got a long way to go. And frankly, that part is going slower than I would like. Everything else the Trump administration has been doing has been speed of light. I love it. But this one, I'd like to see it go even faster. Okay, let's get to the phones. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Going to Mississippi. Scott in Mississippi starting us off. Let's see. I didn't hit the right button, Scott. Hang on a second. I got to... Oh, sorry. Marty or somebody out in the studio, if you could hook in Scott, I messed up my software. This is what happens when I'm out here on the road. Thank you, Scott. Go ahead, man. Sorry about my technical difficulties. The difficulty is me, Scott, just so you know.
Hey, Brother Rick.
Yes, sir.
A little sidetrack. I was so impressed, and I guess I need to go back and listen to the archive, but a few weeks ago, you did a rant for about 10, 15 minutes, a whole segment almost, on the census issues, and I don't hear anybody talking about it anywhere. Can you please ramp it up to your partners, compadres in the Congress so that something is done before it's too late? I don't know what kind of congressional makeup we'll have. What I call for, though, is I want to make that available to some friends, too. So the more we talk about it, I've got a friend of mine, a neighbor of mine that lives right across the street that works for the U.S. Census. And I told him about what you and wanted to put him in touch so he could listen to it and critique it, feed off of it, whatever. We could have a little discussion that way, too. So I got to go back and become more of an expert. It was a great commentary, though, and I really appreciate it. You left one guy off the list that I think is as culpable or more culpable than any of those other people you mentioned, and that's because he hid behind his faith, his so-called Christianity, and his name is Francis Collins. He was over the NIH. He could have pulled the plug at any time, and he looked like little goody-two-shoes in there, just like Burt, just like Biden, and they could have ganged up, and Fauci would have been exposed early on enough to where something would have happened, but the government is, as you know, immune, pun intended, to any accountability anywhere, and that's why our country, that's the detriment of our country. If our country goes, it's going to be because of the lack of morality and the lack of any accountability anywhere on anybody's part in the government.
Scott, you're spot on, man. I absolutely should have included him. I think even perhaps more responsible from the standpoint of the church is supposed to be the barometer. The church is supposed to be the one to push back and say when these things are wrong. And this guy was welcomed in by the Rick Warrens and people like that because of his faith, and they platformed him in churches all over the country, and he was able to spew the lies and the nonsense about the vaccine, about the whole, you know, COVID stand plan from what government was doing. And like you said, hid behind his faith, and in fact, has done a lot of evil things with NIH and a lot of these studies and different things that he's been a part of. You're 100% right, man. I absolutely should have included his name, and I pray that the people like Russell Moore and David French and some of these quote unquote religious leaders that have become essentially leftist and platformed and supported and guilted Christians into going along with this evil. I pray that that is changing. I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing with the movement within, for instance, the Southern Baptist Convention to try to get rid of a lot of these leftists and get back to a biblical involvement instead of what they've done. But man, they really showed their colors when they started platforming Francis Collins. You're spot on, man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for adding that in. Let's see. Let's go to Cindy. Cindy's in Oklahoma. Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. You're up next.
Just want to ask you, go back a little bit, what you were talking about, what people can build on their land and stuff.
When
they own land in America. Okay. In Plano, Texas, or right by Plano, Texas, I think it's called Sophie, Texas, the Muslim, Islamic people are fixing to build a town, a massive town community. And in there, they're also going to have their own law, not American law. And I just wanted to know, what do you think about that? And how is that even going to be able to happen here in America?
Well, yeah, yeah. Let's be clear. Let's just distinguish between, for instance, like we're going to be our own city at the Patriot Academy called Constitution City, Texas soon. And that's a good thing. That's actually upholding the Constitution. And what these guys are doing, they're not going to be able to have like they would love to be able to do Sharia law in their new community there that they're creating, their city that they're creating. But you can't trump state law with city law. Cities get their authority from the state. So they're not going to be able to do a lot of the things that people are concerned that they might could do. But I oppose what they're doing from the standpoint of, you know, religious support of religions that actually support the Constitution and support the law of the land. And Sharia law obviously doesn't work. That's the problem with Islam. It's like a cancer that it ends up undermining the country that it's within. And this is part of the entire Islamic jihad around the world that they're actually after. And so there are other reasons that it's a problem for them. I do not have a problem with them building the community, inviting in, you know, people that are like-minded, those kinds of things. I think that's part of freedom. That's going to happen. But if they are supporting causes and philosophies and religions that are undermining society and harming society, that's exactly what Jefferson believed crossed the line to where you did have the right to come in. For instance, to not allow polygamy, to not allow, you know, honor killings, to not allow child marriage. We absolutely have the right to tell them no to all of those kinds of things and to prevent those kinds of things from happening. But that is a far, far cry from what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you choosing what kind of buildings to build and how to build them. What I'm talking about is you deciding whether or not you have certain designs on your property. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, Hindu, you know, whatever, that right, that property right, cuts across all of that. You should have the ability to decide what you do with your land as long as you're not harming your neighbor. That's the essence of it. So great call, good question. And trust me, that's not the end of that issue, because it's not just the Muslim community there that wants to do Sharia law and ignore the rest of the state and the country. It's the big Hindu statue in Houston. There are a lot of these religions that are becoming more. In fact, we just did a Wall Builder show on this recently, and David Barton made the point, we left the vacuum. We left the public square as Christians and created a vacuum, and those who don't believe like us are filling it. The best thing to do is to fill the vacuum. We as Christians getting more engaged, more involved, rebuilding liberty, all the things we've been talking about. All right, folks, I'm so sorry I'm out of time. Lots of phone calls that I didn't get to. I'll do better on that tomorrow. I'll be with you filling in for Walker tomorrow. Thanks for listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.